our second episode, and I have no idea what I'm doing. But Grace is organizing her earrings, so that's nice.
Yeah, something to do while we're talking.
We're together today, so we're not FaceTiming, so the audio quality should be better.
Yes.
And that's what I'm excited about.
Although I was kind of surprised on actually how good it was when I listened to it.
Yeah, I know. I thought that would be way worse, but it sounds good. I just want to say it quick. I love you to the 5 people listening. Probably my dad. I know Anna.
Me. I was one of the listeners.
Yeah, Grace listened to see how it sounded. And maybe more. I don't know. So yeah, today we're talking about Amelia Earhart, because it says, you know, on the episode title, so I already knew that. I already, like, kind of knew who she was, I recognized her name, but I didn't really know much about her, I just knew that she went missing. So I'm probably learning as much as everybody else listening is, unless you know more than me. Okay, are you ready to start?
Yes.
Alright. When Amelia was young, people called her Tomboy because she liked to climb trees and she liked to go hunting for rats at her grandparents' house. Her home with her parents wasn't a very good environment because her dad was an alcoholic and he couldn't stop. So a lot of times she just went to her grandparents. It was a safe place for her. I saw that she didn't actually get into planes until she was like 20 and she went to an air show and she was like, oh dang, these are kind of cool.
So like she started her career like not young but like later.
Pretty young, but she didn't like planes. She thought they were just pieces of metal that could somehow fly. On December 28th, 1920, she rode in her first ever airplane because some guy was like, hey, want to ride in my airplane? And she's like, heck yeah. And it changed her life, so she started to like them. After she graduated from high school, she attended this school called Ogontz, which it's O-G-O-N-T-Z, and my computer is telling me that it's spelled wrong, but I know it's
is
not.
Is it still there?
Yeah, it's a girls' finishing school, but she left early to become a nurse's aide in a military hospital during World War I, which is kind of great of her. Like, you go. So one afternoon in April 1928, she got a call. She became a social worker, and she got a call at her new social working job.
Yeah.
She was super busy, and she didn't pick it up first, which is kind of something I would do. I do that. When she did pick it up, she was sure it was a prank, because the guy on the other side was asking if she wanted to be the first woman to fly across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Which, that's just amazing. That's an awesome offer. She accepted it, of course, and she was super excited. There had been, like, a lot of other women who had attempted, but they had failed. She was the first ever to succeed. So after crossing the Atlantic Ocean, Amelia's life revolved around flying and airplanes. Earhart was actually cooking up a plan to become the first woman and the second person to ever fly solo across the Atlantic.
Oh, wait, so that last time she didn't fly solo?
Yeah, there was this other dude who rode with her. The first person who did it was Charles Lindbergh. Was he the guy in Up?
I have not. What?
I think he was the guy in the movie Up that, like, turned out to be the bad guy.
Okay.
Anyways, on May 20th, 1932, which was 5 years to the day after Charles Lindbergh, she took off from Harbor Grace, Newfoundland,
to
Paris. There were strong north winds and icy conditions and mechanical problems, and they forced her to land in a pasture near Londonderry, Ireland, which, go Irish. Okay, in 1937, when Amelia was nearing her 40th birthday and was ready for one last huge challenge. So Earhart wanted to be the first woman to fly around the world. In March earlier that year, she had tried the same thing and actually really hurt or damaged her airplane. But she was determined and she had had her airplane repaired. And now she'd also had it customized to her liking.
More comfortable.
Yeah, and like I think just different designs on the outside.
Okay.
On June 1st, Amelia and her navigator, Fred Noonan, left from Miami and began the 29,000-mile journey. On June 29th, they landed in Lae, Papua New Guinea.
Lae?
Yeah, it's like L-A-E. My computer also says that's spelled wrong. They only had 7,000 miles to go. The maps they used weren't always accurate, and this made navigation super challenging for Noonan.
Okay.
I'm sorry, every time I say Noonan, it kind of makes me giggle.
Yeah, I was trying to keep it in, honestly.
Okay. Their next trip to Howland Island was by far the most difficult. It was 2,556 miles from Lae in the mid-Pacific. Howland Island is only a mile and a half long and a half mile wide. So every unessential, is that the word?
I don't.
I copied this from a National Geographic article.
Did she try to land there?
Well, so every unessential was removed from the plane to make room for additional fuel, which gave Earhart 274 extra miles. So she was going to try to land there, but there was this U.S. There's this U.S. Coast Guard task force called ITASCA, or I-T-A-S-C-A. I don't know what that stands for, though. So there was U.S. Coast Guard for radio contact just offshore of Howland Island because they would need their help with navigation to such a small island. On July 2nd at 10 a.m., the pair took off from that place there at Lae.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the weather being reported to be ideal, They flew directly into overcast skies and intermittent rain showers.
Hey.
Yeah, this made navigation even more difficult, especially because Noonan used this style of navigation where you use the stars.
Oh, is that what she did?
Fred Noonan is a guy.
Oh, sorry. I meant that.
Yeah, okay.
See.
So dawn was coming at this point, and Earhart called the Coast Guard Task Force, Itasca. She reported cloudy weather, cloudy. That's exactly, like, in quotes. Later, Amelia asked the Itasca to take bearings on her. They sent her a steady stream of transmissions, but she couldn't hear them. Her transmissions, irregular through most of the flight, were quiet or filled with static. At 7:42 a.m., the Itasca picked up the message, we must be on you, but we cannot see you. Fuel is running low. Been unable to reach you by radio. We are flying at 1,000 feet. So Itasca tried to reply, but the plane seemed not to hear.
Mm.
That would be so scary, though.
That would be so scary.
Like, hearing just intermittent, she's missing.
That's, like, my worst, like, just being in a plane. I mean, you haven't been in a plane, right?
Uh-huh.
But, like, being in a plane and you've always had, like, these worries of just, like, something happening because...
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
Like, when you're the only person?
Yeah, well, there was one other dude.
Well, there was, but, like...
Yeah. So, Itasca tried to reply, but the plane didn't hear them. At 8:45 a.m., Amelia reported, in quotes, "We are running north and south. Nothing further was ever heard from her." Well, there was, but they weren't sure if that was her or not.
North and south?
Yeah, which I think that the exact quote, I think, is a little different. I think that this article got it wrong. It was, like, her exact coordinates, but they were both, like, north and south. People immediately began rescue attempts, but the one that immediately commenced was the most extensive air and sea search in naval history. On July 19th, they'd spent $4 million and searched 250,000 square miles of ocean, and then they hadn't found anything, so the U.S. government called off the search.
Wait, so they think it's in the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, there's theories on that.
In my brain, I thought that, like, she must have crashed on land, but, like, obviously...
Well, actually, there's theories about that. In 1938, there was a lighthouse constructed on Howland Island in her memory, and many places in the U.S. were named after Amelia Earhart. And Amelia Earhart awards and scholarships are given out every year, just in memory of her. So, real quick, let me hear your theory on what happened. Like, what do you think happened?
Like, to her plane or her?
Just, what do you think happened to all of her? Like, the plane, her partner, her...
I don't know. Like, for some reason, I thought that she crashed on land, but, like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I thought that. I mean, I haven't actually, like, looked into her, so...
Right.
I mean, besides now.
So, I would say my theory, but it's not fair since I've already read all the theories. So, I'll tell you which one I agree with the most after I've read them off. And you can tell me which one you agree with most.
Okay,
so the first theory is open ocean.
open
ocean crash near destination. So the official U.S. position, like, this is what the U.S. believes, is that Earhart and Noonan ran out of fuel on the way to Howland Island and crashed in the Pacific Ocean, which is reasonable.
Yeah.
The U.S. Coast Guard Itasca was at Howland to assist Earhart, but owing to radio problems, communication was sporadic and broken. According to the Itasca's radio logs, Earhart indicated she must be near the island, but couldn't see it, and was running low on gas. Amelia's...
So sorry.
Yeah, it is. Imagine, like, you're not even anywhere near we need to be, but you see that your gas tank is empty. So Amelia's customized plane, called the Electra, actually never made it to the island, which is just so sad.
Mm-hmm.
About 15 years ago, Nauticos, a Hanover, Maryland company that performs deep ocean searches and other ocean research services... led an effort to locate Earhart's plane where they believed it crashed, in the Pacific Ocean in the vicinity of Howland Island. Nautico's president, David Jordan, said in 2003 that by studying factors such as Earhart's broken-up radio transmissions and what is known about the Electra's fuel supply, he and his colleagues had narrowed down on the area of the ocean that they believed will eventually yield the plane's grave.
Interesting.
Yeah. "We're confident it is in the area we're searching," said Jordan. "Of course, we cannot guarantee it, because it would be on the outside edge, but we are sure it's in the vicinity."
Sure?
Yeah, they're sure. In March and April of 2002, the company used a high-tech deep-sea sonar system to search 630 square miles, or 1,630 square kilometers, of the ocean floor near Holland. They didn't find the plane on that expedition or 2006 follow-up mission. They, of course, have never found the plane. So what do you think of that theory?
Are they sure then?
I know, that's what I'm thinking. What do you think of that theory? I mean, it's, like, reasonable. It makes sense, and that's probably what happened, but I don't know.
I feel like since they didn't find the plane on land, it'd be more obvious that it was in the ocean, so, like...
But, like, hang on. This next theory might make you think differently.
Okay.
So the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, also known as Tigar, which I love. It's
Tigar.
It's Tigar.
So close to tiger, but it's just Tigar.
Tigar. So they're investigating the hypothesis that Earhart and Noonan landed their Lockheed Electra 10E on Nikumaroro Island, a speck of land 350 nautical miles southwest of Howland, when they couldn't find Howland. The researchers based their hypothesis on Earhart's last radio transmissions. There was one part where she said she was on 157337. This indicates that the plane was flying on a northwest to southeast navigational line that bisected Howland Island.
Okay.
So that's why it said north and south in the other quote. If Earhart and Noonan missed Howland, they would fly either northwest or southeast on the line to find it. To the northwest of Howland lies open ocean for thousands of miles, but to the southeast is Nikumaroro. Nikumaroro. I'm butchering that.
I can't stop.
Nikumaroro.
Nikumaroro.
The radio message was the last confirmed transmission from Earhart, but radio operators received 121 messages over the next 10 days. Those, at least 57 could have been from her plane. Wireless stations took direction bearings on 6 of them, and 4 of them crossed near the Phoenix Islands, which is where Nikumaroro is.
Wait, so they actually had, like, signals from?
Yeah. Most messages were at night when the tide was low.
That's weird.
At the time of Earhart's disappearance, the tide on Nikumaroro was especially low, revealing a reef surface along the shore long and flat enough for a plane to land. So if Earhart sent any of those 57 radio transmissions, the plane must have landed relatively intact.
Yeah, but was it there?
Well, they haven't seen it there, no. The Tigar researchers think that Earhart and Noonan radioed at night to avoid the extreme daytime heat inside the aluminum plane. Eventually, the tide lifted the Electra off the reef, and it sank or broke up in the surf. The transmission stopped on July 13, 1937. But that's not the only reason they might have been castaways in Nikumaroro. Later in 1937, a British party explored the island with the intent of colonizing it.
Mm-hmm.
This was also, like, the last thing they ever colonized, I think.
Okay.
A colonial officer noticed what looked like a temporary camp. He also took a picture of the shoreline, which includes an unidentified object that Tigar speculates might be the plane's landing gear.
Interesting.
Yeah, by 1938, the island was colonized. Colonists reported finding airplane parts, some of which could have possibly come from the Electra. They also found 13 bones from men and women, and a woman's shoe and a man's shoe.
So do they think, so they found, like, different plane parts, but they're scattered? So do you think they could have, like, taken apart it and used it for stuff?
Right, that would be entirely possible.
And then just ended up dying because they ran out of resources?
Yeah, that's the most plausible theory to me. Honestly, like, that's the one I listened to, and I'm like, that's gotta be it.
That's really sad if they, like, starved to death.
I know, that's really sad. But it's like, you listen to that, and you're like, I mean, where else would they go if they couldn't see Howland and they could see Nikumaroro? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. That's the one I believe most. Okay, so there's one more theory. The Marshall Islands conspiracy.
Oh, conspiracy. It's different.
A conspiracy theory. So the third theory is that Earhart and Noonan, unable or maybe not wanting to find Howland. Ooh. What if they didn't want to?
Why would they not want to?
I don't know. It's what National Geographic said, okay? So they headed north to the Japanese-controlled Marshall Islands, where they were taken hostage by the Japanese, possibly as U.S. spies. So what if Amelia Earhart wasn't just an aviator, but she was a spy?
Oh, boy.
So, some believe... So that would be why they didn't want to go to Howland. They wanted to go to the Marshall Islands.
Because they're spies?
Yeah, some believe that both pilots were eventually killed, while others believe Earhart and maybe Noonan returned to the U.S. under assumed names.
So, like, they returned as different people?
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
Fake names. Ooh, according to one theory, Earhart took the name of Irene Craigmile, then married Guy Bolam, and became Irene Bolam, who died in New Jersey in 1982.
That's weird.
Yeah, so that's all the information I've got. I don't know. Which theory do you think is the most plausible?
Well, I don't know. I feel like combining them because, like, I mean, anything really could have happened. And why in the world would they be spies? That seems the most ridiculous to me.
Yeah, but what if? That'd be kind of cool.
It's almost, like, just, like, imaginary, though. It's not necessarily
what
happened. But, like, I mean, you never know.
Yeah, so
I don't want, like, if there were spies, they'd still want safety.
Right.
And, like, no one found them anyways.
Yeah, that's true. I think the Nikumaroro, I think, is the one I believe the most.
And I love the name of Nikumaroro.
Or what if they like, crash landed in the ocean and then, like, used the land, or they used gear that had broken off the airplane to swim to Nikumaroro. So, like, it's both of those theories, because it was their closest island. That could be it. Oh, we're theorists.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure we're not the first ones to think of that.
Just say all of the above.
That's theory, just so scary. Where it's scary. Like
they landed in the Pacific, went and survived on the island, and then there were secret spies that came back to America somehow.
Yeah.
And changed
the under social security. Okay, so that's all we have. It'd be so scary. I can't stop thinking about how scary it would be.
I hate that.
To be in a plane and it's like, oh my gosh, we don't have any fuel. And they just crash.
We're in the sky and we're not going to be in the sky anymore.
That would be so scary. Yeah, just imagine like being on the island of Kuma Roro and you see like an airplane like at high speed running right towards your beach. So anyways, yeah, that's all we got. So we're on like a whole bunch of forums now. I don't know all of them. I actually don't know for sure if we're on Apple Podcasts. We should be. And we're on like Google Podcasts and stuff, which is coolio. So you can
I've never used that before.
You can rate and review us and you can email me. I'm hoping to get an email for the actual podcast soon, but right now that's just my email. And we actually have a Patreon. Please support us. Come on, Dad, I know you're listening. Please support me. And our Patreon is, I think the link is actually in the description of the show if you want to support me. Because we're trying to get microphones. Right now we're just using the computer and it sounds kind of gross. So we're trying to get our microphones.
Well.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.